And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into 3D here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick alongside Chase McAbey behind the glass. D-Mace will be back sometime this week.
Wednesday, from what I've been told. Wednesday.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Probably better than the Washington Huskies. Probably better than Clemson. Probably better than Auburn. Probably better than the Jets. Because I know, Willie, you want to talk about that. Even though, does it really matter with the Jets?
Ask the Jets.
Better than the Chiefs.
Better than the Chiefs. It was an upset weekend. I mean, a lot of upsets. And it started on Friday.
Friday the 13th.
Friday was nuts. Washington State, better than Washington State. Who else am I missing? Better than the
Didn't
Packers.
You said Washington already.
Washington, yeah. And Washington State.
You see Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Middle Tennessee.
They were both.
TSU.
Tennessee wasn't
TSU.
Underdog.
Once again, Austin Peay is the one. Hey, Austin, what are you guys talking about?
Austin
we're having
Peay.
A great time.
Yeah.
Ask the Jets if they'd like to be 4-2. As opposed to 3-3, stood toe to toe with the Patriots and got absolutely screwed out of a touchdown on one of the worst calls. Again, the replay is great. There's no going back. But the fine tuning of the calls, it's the same thing we talked about last week. Baseball, hockey, basketball, football all have these examples of how replay has completely gotten out of control when you start measuring frame by frame. Did he have it? Did he not have it? Oh, he lost it there for a second. Either it's a touchdown or it's not a touchdown. You watch that play 20 times. That's a touchdown for the Jets. They got screwed.
Why are you watching that game?
It's a big game. Well,
Jets, what, Patriots?
Darren. The Browns
and the Texans come
is
on.
The game that we had on.
I know.
Okay.
You weren't into that?
Well, thank God it ended. And so they put another game on that was closer. And they
you
put that game
no,
on.
Wait a minute. You weren't scouting for next week? I was scouting.
Okay.
See, you're watching Jets Patriots. I'm scouting for next week.
I got the scouting in the first half of that game.
Actually, we know the scout. The Browns stink. That's the scouting report. Here's my notes. Browns still suck. That's my notes from the game. And here's also what I've written down. They should have drafted Deshaun Watson.
But you need to join the Bill Belichick club here. I know he was probably sandbagging a little bit, but the Jets are 3-2, got a chance to be 4-2.
The Patriots aren't that good.
The Jets aren't that bad. And that's maybe the league in a nutshell right now.
Isn't it funny, the theme, all offseason, right, that we talked about? Jets won't win a game.
Right.
Patriots won't lose a game.
But that is the NFL. That is the NFL. The
Everybody
Chargers
had
beat the Raiders.
Jets pegged as the worst team in the league and the Patriots the runaway best team in the league. And here we sit today after, what, five games? You're going, the Jets aren't that bad. They got screwed. They should have beat the Patriots. And, oh, by the way, if the Patriots lose, they would be, what, 500?
Yes.
500 after six.
The Dolphins, as awful as they were, they won in Atlanta.
The Falcons. 17-0. By the way, they've lost back-to-back home games in their beautiful new stadium to the Bills and the Dolphins. Let that one digest. And then throw it up if you're a Falcons fan. The Falcons.
Nobody,
are you kidding me?
Nobody is that bad. And nobody's that great.
Bears beat the Ravens?
But that's why, getting back to my original frustration point, because it's so mind-numbing in so many ways that we've gotten to this. The stuff with the catches, and did he have full control? Even Mike Pereira, who gets it right most of the time, he doesn't even know what to say half the time. But that one with the Jets, the guy, he's got the ball. It's Austin Seferian Jenkins. Mm-hmm. It's a big play. He juggles the ball while he's in the air for maybe a millisecond. But by the time he comes down, he's got the ball. He knocks over the pylon right at the goal line. He rolls. He's got full control of the ball. And they go back and, I mean, the call on the field was a touchdown, and they overruled it.
So they reversed it.
You know, I don't – it's like I went on the tirade last week about the Titans game, this whole, well, you know, if you watch the replay, you know, I don't know, the ball was out. The ball went 12 yards forward. You got to use a little bit of common sense here. Common sense, when nobody reacts like it's a fumble, it's probably not a fumble. When a guy juggles the ball for maybe a second, but to the naked eye, you can't tell, and he knocks over the pylon, and he gets up with the ball, and he's holding it up, it's probably a touchdown. Oh, yeah, you can slow it down and go really, really slow, and maybe the ball moves a little bit. Maybe it even juggles. But come on, man. Come on.
I would say you'd have a better chance of everybody we talked to this week of agreeing with you on that call, because everybody we talked to last week, as egregious as you make it out to be, it was not a landslide, as in it was a horrible call.
I will tell you this.
So you tell me if it's such a horrible call and such a landslide, which I told you last week at this time it wasn't, that half of our guests said, no, they were okay with the call. You watch the Jets, we can poll everybody on the play you're talking about, and they'll all agree.
If that were the Jets that happened to, and Boomer Esiason had been looking at that play, I guarantee you he would have gone off just like he went off yesterday. Because it's a New York team.
Right.
That's when you really start getting it. It was a Patriots game, so it was a game a lot of people were watching. Dolphins, Titans, nobody's watching. So nobody made a big deal of it. I guarantee if that was a featured game, people would have made more of a big deal about that play. But they need to do what hockey did. And hockey needs to do with it offsides. But hockey at least did this with the kick.
Or grabbing a stick and throwing it against the boards.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But hockey on the kick, when you can't kick a puck into the net. They got to the point where anytime a guy's foot moved or skate moved just a little bit towards the goal, they were saying, well, he kicked it. He kicked it. And they finally stopped the madness. And they said, you know what? Unless the guy takes a full swing. Like he's playing kickball, we're going to let it go. We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt because we're cutting it too fine. That's exactly what is happening with some of these football replays. I don't know if you were watching the Packers-Vikings game.
I was until Aaron Rodgers went down. Then
Aaron Rodgers gets hurt.
I was like, there's nothing to see here. By the way, I took the Vikings, so I actually won pick six.
That killed me. That was my top shelf.
Terrible week for pick six.
My nightmare of a season.
Hey,
continues.
I won a top shelf.
Congratulations.
Auburn. And I thought I was dead. I was Saturday going, are you serious? Like, the first quarter, I'm like, I stink at our top shelves. It was 20-0. I'm like, Auburn is going to boat race LSU. Like, Ed Orgeron's going to get fired on the field.
Right.
I turned away.
I couldn't believe it.
I was like, I've got to concentrate on this Vanderbilt game. And then I go to Vanderbilt. I'm like, why am I watching this? Let me just say this. Let me give you my notes on Vanderbilt, Willie. Let me tell you my notes.
Oh, I don't
on defense, they cannot tackle. They cannot tackle. And here's another thing they need to do. Maybe they need to hit the weight room. I've never seen a team that gets run over more than Vanderbilt's defense. Run over.
It's hard to watch.
Their quarterback, Patterson's running them over. Running over defenders. Plowing them like he's Derrick Henry. They might want to hit the weight room. They might want to work on tackling drills this week. They're awful. I can't believe I'm saying that about a Derrick Mason defense. They're awful.
That's what's disturbing is I wouldn't have said that all throughout last year or the first three games this year. But all of a sudden, you're right.
They cannot tackle and they get run over constantly. Like the guy is in position. Next thing you know, he's flattened, and they keep going.
And the results show it. I mean, it's not like they're disguising it. I mean, they're getting blown out. That was sad. That was a gut check.
So I go back to Auburn LSU, and I'm like, holy cow, here comes LSU. And they end up winning the thing. At that point, I'm just going, just keep it. Just keep it 7 or under. We had the line at 7.5 for pick six. Just keep it 7.5 or 7 and under. That's all I'm asking for, LSU. What do? They go out and win the game. And by the way, Ed Orgeron outcoached Gus Malzahn. If you watch the game, Coach O outcoached him. If you're an Auburn fan, you have to be furious today. You have to be. By the way, we won't have Derrick Mason tomorrow because they're on a bye week. I'm telling you, what they need to do in a bye week is hit the weight room. I've never seen a defense that gets bowled over more than them. And like I said, I can't believe I'm saying that. Of all the things that we talked about Vanderbilt football under Derek Mason's watch, I didn't think it would be about that.
If they can't get that part of the fix, they're not going to win another
toast.
Game. Because it's the most basic thing. If you can't stop straight-ahead runs, or if you have to cheat so much to stop the straight-ahead runs that you've got wide open. And that's another thing that Ole Miss had. They got a couple of really fast, talented wide receivers. And if Vanderbilt's got to get eight or nine guys in the box just to stop the regular running plays, then those guys have great matchups down the field. It was easy. I hate
easy.
To say it.
Well, the last 4 weeks have been easy on their defense. Easy.
It's one thing if Alabama makes it look easy. It's another thing that Ole Miss made it look easy.
But Ole Miss just did whatever they wanted to. They can't stop anybody.
And we haven't gotten in Tennessee yet.
Nope.
No touchdowns in 10 quarters. Now, that'll be interesting. The Tennessee offense against the Vanderbilt defense. Something's got to give.
I suspect it'll look like last year's game. First team to 48 wins.
Yeah, I'm sure Tennessee fans are going, do you think we can score 48 against anybody?
Well, yeah, but I'm sure Vanderbilt's defense right now, you're going, can they keep anybody under 40?
Exactly. That's exactly the point I'm making.
You're saying what gives?
Yeah.
What would be your money today? What gives? Tennessee's offense or Vanderbilt's defense?
Oh, man. I mean, right now they are both start at ground zero.
Either one giving is an upset, right?
Yeah. But that's going to be the story.
I'll tell you who what it is. What? Tennessee's offense, because I believe they'll get better week by week with Garantano. I do. I believe they'll get better.
Vanderbilt's defense has players that have been out there for 2 years, sometimes three, that have looked better than this. So I don't get it. I don't know what has happened. But it does start up front.
It cannot be just
Well, they showed you the first 3 weeks they can find a way to be good. They were one of the best.
What happened?
Their defensive line, their front is getting blown off the ball. That's
they're
where it
getting
all starts.
Crushed in the trenches. Crushed.
Yeah. And they're having trouble on offense. They were better. I mean, they scored 35 points. That's not all bad, but they're still not getting great offensive line play.
This is a much needed bye week.
Yes. This is where they've got to regroup.
Reset.
There's still a lot of games left that are winnable if they can play the way they are capable of playing. They've shown they're capable
of
playing.
Weren't they in this position last year? Weren't they 3-4?
They were 3-6.
They were 3-6 and won their last three?
I think so.
What, Ole Miss, Tennessee?
Tennessee
and
State,
else?
Ole Miss, okay. And Tennessee,
so
I think.
So they were 3-6. Well, I know
well,
there was
not.
Tennessee,
maybe
Ole Miss.
Maybe they were.
I know they were 3-4.
There was Missouri was in there. They lost to Missouri. They were definitely 4-6.
They've got to do some soul searching because they are not very good. Wayne wants to give us a preview of the UT Vandy game. I can't wait to hear this. Wayne, what's up?
Good morning, guys. I told Chase last night. I got first dibs on the UT conversation.
Okay.
UT Vanderbilt's going to come down to Brady Hoke out coaching Derek Mason.
Mm. How does that make you feel?
I feel actually kind of hopeful. I mean, we've got to take the next step, and if Bush Jones can't take the next step, then we have to do it without him. And that means an interim coach for the Vanderbilt game for the rest of the season. You know, at this point, I'm ready to Lane Kiffin and Butch Jones just leave him on the tarmac in Birmingham.
I know. Well, I mean, look, we all know how this is going to play out. I mean, is his gauge really Tuscaloosa? I mean, they're a 35. I haven't even looked at the line. I've been saying it all week, and they're going to be a 5-touchdown underdog. Have you guys looked at the line?
Yeah,
I've said it all week, all weekend. I told
– Oh, you've looked, Chase.
You've looked?
I've looked.
Why would you look at the lines? You know we don't look at the lines.
Because it was on Twitter. It just popped up.
Is it 35?
It's around there.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be a 5-touchdown underdog. Are you kidding me? That, to me, is what would infuriate me if I'm a Tennessee fan. And I know because I have family that are UT fans, and I have a wife who's a UT grad. And –
Oh, I'm a UT grad, too.
To be 5-touchdown underdog, the gap between Tennessee and Alabama in football, 5 touchdowns, that's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, but I will tell you, the way we've been playing the last 10 quarters, They might cover it.
Oh, no, no, they won't. Might. I would take Alabama today. I'll take Alabama in minus 35. That's how embarrassing it is.
I completely agree with you.
But here's the thing, Wayne. That's what I'm getting at. Okay, so Alabama, they're going to lose 59-6. So that's your gauge of I mean, if that's what you're going to do after the Alabama loss, then why don't you just go on and do something now? I mean, what's the point? Well, we know how that's going to end Saturday.
I understand that. There are two things I thought about with the Alabama game. You don't embarrass an interim coach who might be trying to get a step in. You don't put him. I think Butch Jones can keep his job after losing to Alabama Saturday if they put up a fight. If it's 59-0 at halftime, they're not putting up a fight.
Yeah, right now, Nick Saban, his biggest fear he probably has going into this week is kind of when he lashed out the media, stop calling us good. His probably biggest fear is that his team is going to sleepwalk this week in practice, and they're not going to take Tennessee seriously.
But you know what he's going to do. He's going to be all
I know.
Over them.
He's going to, about that. Right, he's going to do all of his little
and
Jedi mind tricks.
He's going to sound like a complete fool half the stuff he says, but it's for that purpose. It's so his team does not overlook it.
Doesn't fall asleep.
He's going to say, you saw what happened against, what was it, Texas A&M, that was the one team that sort of hung in there and stopped this massacre they had that were just blowing through everybody.
You saw how their defense shut down UMass. Did you see that game? I'll show you.
Oh, yeah. I watched that game, and I was like, oh, my gosh. I was waiting for UMass to win.
I was, too. I thought they were going to. But as pathetic as it was.
And on Saturday, when we were at the two-yard line, I had no faith we were going to score. No faith.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to play out, Wayne. Thank you for the call, as always. Look, it's inevitable at this point. You know, you can come up with all these scenarios of how Butch can save his job. You can't save this thing. It's kind of like Vanderbilt. I look around and I look at Vanderbilt and I look at Tennessee, and I'm wondering, how are they going to win some of these games? How are they going to do it? You look at their holes and you look at their deficiencies and you go, you can coach them up all you want at this point, and I have huge issues to think that that's even possible in Knoxville, that they can be coached up. By the way, go listen to Joey Galloway's comments this weekend on UT. It's pretty interesting.
I heard
him. He's saying, did you? Oh, you heard it.
I heard some of them.
Was he not saying that? He goes like,
he says, I
got
see
talent.
He says, I see talent.
I see talent on the field. I don't see that talent getting coached up.
Yep.
That's Joey Galloway's comments. He said, I see talent on that team. I don't know why they look like this, because it looks like they're not getting coached up. Let's go to Luther. Luther, what's up?
Hey, boys, I can break this Vanderbilt thing down for you real quick. It's called complimentary football, and they ain't playing it. In the first 3 weeks of the year, they were doing just enough to get by with their offense. Now, all of a sudden, you're seeing the offensive line not protect Kyle Shurmur, taking way too many shots, and the running game, it's pretty much null and void, even though it came through last on Saturday with over, 150 on the ground. Usually when you get 150 on the ground and score 35 points and average about 7.5 per play, that should get it done. But when your defense is stuck on the field like every other possession for like 5, 6, 7, 7.5, 8 minutes at a time, and they're clicking off first down after first down after first down, eventually, hey, and then you're tired, and then you get knocked out of position. I mean, this is what it comes down to. This team's got to get back to what they did the first 3 weeks. They're not doing that. And now they have 5 games left, and we're back to the same song and verse again. You've got to get 3 out of a possible – you've got to get 3 out of the next 5 somehow to get the bowl eligibility at 6-6 and probably come back at least either to the Music City or back to the bowl game that you went to last year when you got railroaded by NC State. But the team that's doing very well, besides Austin Peay in the state of Tennessee, is across the Tennessee River in Memphis, 5-1,
yep,
and somehow knocked off 2 top 25 ranked teams.
It's a good win over Navy this weekend.
I thought we had no chance in that game, I swear. That Navy game, that was the triple option that they run. I'm like, oh, my God, we have no chance. But when they turned it over 5 times, I'm like, okay, maybe we got a chance. But now another test is coming up, Houston. And Memphis hasn't done very well against them either.
They'll be fine. They'll win that game.
But I don't know how good Houston is.
They're not that great. They're not the same as – thank you, Luther, for the call. They're not the same.
Navy turned the ball 5 times, turned over the ball. Wow. Yep. That's un-Navy-like.
They only beat them by 3.
Hmm.
Memphis is still pretty good. With their quarterback, who's their quarterback?
An ex-Tennessee player?
Riley Ferguson.
Ferguson. I will throw this out there as a ray of hope. You know, I'm a glass half full guy for Vanderbilt. I heard Derek Mason say this with us on Tuesday. He was concerned the four-week murderer's row where they got one and then they got ripped three times. He was worried that his team was a little weary going into this Ole Miss game. And he said, we will welcome the bye week. He didn't say it's going to hurt us on Saturday, but I have to worry, or I have to hope anyway, that they were a little worn down, especially defensively, after that stretch of games.
Well, they played a lot.
They had to play a lot, and they were just getting crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the week off will help. Maybe they will be a little physically tougher, stronger, mentally physically tougher, stronger for the next game. And I would have to hope so, because if it's not, it's going to be a long rest of the season.
After all the games we just named, the upsets and the egregious losses over the weekend, probably the one that was number one that we haven't even named yet, is what happened last night. How did the Broncos lose at home to the Giants? Not only did they lose, they got whipped. How do they lose to that Giants team? They hadn't won a game this year and lost their entire receiving
NFL.
Core.
NFL.
At home, the number one defense, and they got shredded by the Giants.
NFL. It makes you wonder what we're going to see tonight.
It does.
You could see anything tonight.
You're right. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls. You want to keep jumping in there. Lots of things to react to. 737-1025. We'll also give away some tickets to see the Preds and the Avalanche tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Return of Colin Wilson. We'll do that this hour as well. You're listening to 3D, 1025 The Game. Bob Williams on Twitter says, hey, D-Mac, you honestly believe they can score 6 against Alabama? Wow.
Come on.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, at some point, little Nicky's going to put his third team out there. It'll soften up a little.
Didn't for Vanderbilt.
No, it didn't. Didn't for Ole Miss. By the way, they beat Ole Miss 66-3.
Yeah.
Clemson. How does Clemson go to Syracuse and lose? They were favored by 23 points and lost. By the way, I can't wait to see the underdog scores if people just took flyers on big favorites.
Yeah. This was a week you could get big points.
Oh, my goodness.
If you took the three correct flyers.
Hey. Well, there were plenty that hit. That's the thing. I mean, the Oklahoma-Iowa State was just luck. I mean, it was the one that hit. I mean, you've got some huge underdogs that hit all weekend long.
That was baffling, the Syracuse game, after we saw Middle Tennessee go up there and get a great win in that place. Clemson, and right from the start, you're thinking, wow, Syracuse looks like they're going to hang around. It's, you know, it was 7-7. It was 14-7.
Right, that's what I kept saying. Like, Syracuse is going to make it. This is going to be at least a game for a while. That's what I was thinking.
I kept thinking, where is the push? Where is the run?
Now, I know Clemson lost their quarterback. Brian went down with a concussion. So we know that. That changed the complexion of the game. But still, you're thinking, it's Clemson. They'll find a way, right, to eke out a win. They don't have to cover 23, but they'll find a way to win the game. They're not going to cover the spread. We know that. But it's going to be a close game, but they'll find a way to win. Not the case.
Nope. I would say, though, Clemson can survive this.
They can. ACC's weak.
They have no more margin for error.
Although NC State.
And everybody else losing helps them. They're still in the mix. You can lose one. You can have one bad one and still have a shot. Ohio State's perking up right now.
Yeah, but they're also.
I mean, how about Michigan?
They're beating up on bad teams.
But they're beating up on
Michigan
bad teams. Michigan's barely getting by.
Let me just tell you, I've watched Michigan last 2 weeks.
They got
they're
problems.
They're crap. No, they don't have problems. They're crap. Their offense is awful. If I'm going to rail on JT Barrett and say the man can't throw, it's time to start railing on Michigan and old genius Jim Harbaugh. Their offense is awful. Terrible. They're not going anywhere with that offense. I don't care how good their defense
and
is.
And Penn State's got an opportunity. All these teams, it's about the consistency. Wisconsin? How about Wisconsin?
They look really good.
They've got a clear pathway. They just have to avoid the bad game.
Craig Smith just called in. He said, don't forget about the Badgers.
It's a really intriguing season.
Nebraska, to me, I know they just hired an AD, a new AD from Washington State. He's not going to hire the crazy pirate at Nebraska. To me, it's not the most obvious dot to connect for the next coach at Nebraska, Scott Frost at UCF.
Yes.
Right? Isn't that the – like, they would probably fire this new guy, Moose, whoever – I think that's his last name, Moose from Washington State, the new AD. If he doesn't hire Scott Frost, he'll get fired. He'll be like Mike Price. He'll be on the job for like 30 days. Because they're going to need a new coach.
There are a lot of dissatisfied fans on a lot of fronts.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's go to Andre. Andre, by the way, if you want to jump in and talk to us, 737-1025. Andre, what's up?
This is a venting hour.
Yeah.
Venting hour? Well, I hate to tell you, I don't think Scott Frost guys will go to Nebraska. No, Nebraska is not the same Nebraska of old. I think he'd be better off staying where he is.
Just remember this, Andre. The programs are never the same until somebody goes in there and turns it around. Do you remember what Alabama football looked like before Nick Saban? Do you remember what Michigan looked like when Jim Harbaugh took it over under Brady Hoke?
I tell you what, I don't think Scott Frost would go back to Nebraska. I think he would be a dummy if he did. I think I'll just stay where I'm at. I'll let that job pass. It's hard to get these good athletes to go to Nebraska these days.
Who wants to stay in Orlando, though? Who wants to stay in Orlando? Oh, sorry, Willie.
Hey, I would take Orlando over Nebraska. Nebraska is not the program that we think they is. That's the days of old. That is gone.
No, it's not, Andre. I'm telling you, it's not. It's not gone. You get a guy in there that starts winning, and Nebraska's fan base is up there with all the other crazies.
Well, I tell you what, if I'm Scott Frost, I just take the Tennessee job. That's where he needs to go. I go there. I'm not wasting my time with Nebraska.
Right, because Tennessee's program looks so great right now in the last decade.
Well, you just got to look at it. I'm looking at Nebraska and where it's at. It's just going to get – it's hard for them young kids to go to Nebraska. I don't see it. Maybe you do, but I just don't see it. I think Nebraska time has just passed. You know, some programs it's just not the same no more. That time.
Okay, tell me this, Andre. We love talking to you on the show because you provide us great picks. You got great knowledge. You're a traveling man. You get to go to all the best sporting events all around the country. Give me a premier program that has fallen on hard times and never come back. Give me a premier program in the country that just has never recovered, and it's been just roadkill for the last 20 years. Give me an example.
For the last 20 years, to be honest with you, I don't know none.
Exactly.
Really think,
because there are
really
none.
I don't know none.
The big programs will eventually hire the right guy because they have the money, they have the resources, and they'll get it back to prominence. That's just how it works. It's all cyclical, and eventually they come back around to winning. Right now, Nebraska football has been down for a good while, but if you make the right hire, you're back on top, and the fan base is there. Believe me, there's nothing to do in Lincoln. But shuck corn, that's it. There's nothing to do there but watch Nebraska football and play in the cornfields.
But yeah, you right about that, because I've been up there, and the only time I will ever go back, Vanderbilt got to go back to the College World Series. That's the only reason I'm ever going back to Nebraska.
I'm just telling you, make the right hire, which to me, it's a no-brainer. Thanks as always, Andre. It's Scott Frost. You have to hire him because that's what will appease the fan base. And oh, by the way, he's showing right now to be a pretty good coach. I mean, he is UCF. I don't know if you watch them. They're fun, man. They score a ton of points under Scott Frost. He's turned them around. They're pretty good.
The formula for getting players in Orlando will be different than the formula getting players in Nebraska. You would have to fight that game. But Scott Frost, having played in Nebraska,
kind of knows the area.
You can't just know the area. There's not enough players.
You're
in
right.
That
you're
area.
Not. You're not worried about Nebraska, the state. You got to get into Texas and Oklahoma and that whole California. That's the areas you got to worry about.
And the brand is not what maybe it used to be. Because you have to recruit nationally to win at Nebraska.
Once again, the brand is only what you make the brand to be. Okay?
You would have to say the brand is different than it was in 1995.
Alabama football was crap. Crap! Until Nick Saban got there. Yes, crap.
The brand was? Bear Bryant?
Oh, you think... No, I'm saying, yeah, they still have history. You can't take history away from them. But kids don't look at that anymore. We know that that doesn't sell. Kids don't look at the brand anymore.
But Alabama.
We know that whole notion is long gone.
But Alabama has a lot of players in their area that grow up wanting to play for Alabama.
Nobody walks in the living room door anymore and says, hey, we're fill in the blank, and they go, where do I sign, coach? Where do I sign? I'll do anything to play for you.
Darren.
No, you know what they say? No. Are you going to play me right away? Am I your starting guy? Well, you know, you're going to have to. Son, no, coach, am I your starting guy? I want to play. Because you know what Louisiana Tech is telling me? You know what Boise State told me? I'm their starter day one. But we're fill in the blank school. I really don't care about that. I want to play. That's today's kid.
There's more players in that area than there are in Nebraska. Nebraska has all kinds of high school players that grow up wanting to play for Nebraska, but they're not enough of them that are great players anymore without augmenting from all around the country where you have to get the kid from Texas or California. You want me to go to Nebraska? It used to mean something big, and they still have great fans. They always will. But I just think that right now that's the stock is down in the brand. Alabama, I don't know, ever slipped to that level. And they were able to rebuild it quicker just because there's so much more talent in the Southeast and in Alabama as opposed to in Nebraska.
Well, you get to choose. I mean, in Alabama, you're surrounded by Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, and Texas. Right
sure.
There, you can make a living. You can build all the teams you need to build in those states right there. Let's go to Harley. 737-1025. Harley, what's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. So I am a local Nashville guy, a huge Husker fan, Husker alum. Went to the game this weekend, unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Did you walk home? You were so mad?
No. No, I thought about it. Me and my dad left at halftime, though, and went to the bar because that was more entertaining than sitting there watching the game. But this was our worst home loss since 1949. And by far, I mean, I went to the bowl game last year, too, which was probably the worst football game I've ever watched in person against Tennessee and Nebraska. But that tops that. This was just depressing on all fronts.
Okay, so you're in tune with the program. If you're willing to travel from Nashville to Lincoln, then you're hardcore. They're going to make a coaching change. Is it Scott Frost, or what are you hearing?
So, I mean, from what I can tell, me personally, I don't want Scott Frost yet.
Okay.
I think that may be where the program's heading. I think that that's a great name. You know, everyone was thinking we want to just get back to the 90s, right? We want to get Trev Alberts in as our AD. We want to get Scott Frost in as our coach. But Trev Alberts came in and said, hey, I don't want that job. And I think that that made the higher-ups realize that, you know, this dream of the 90s may not be a reality yet. Bringing everyone back to the glory days.
My guess is they told Moose, if that's his last name, that you're not bringing in a crazy pirate into Lincoln.
Yeah, and I think that might be the case. We'll have to see how that shakes out. I'm not super familiar with our new AD yet. I've been trying to read up on him a little bit, but I think that my opinion is we need to keep Riley for another year or two. I know that a lot of people are not happy about that, but my whole point is, who are you going to get to fix this?
There are plenty of people. That is. Let me just tell you. Harley. When people say who are you going to get better, believe me, that is the wrong approach. There's tons of candidates, people that can change around programs all over the country.
And I agree. But have we had anyone in the last 20 years that's been able to do that?
Mike Riley is not the answer. They're awful.
And I don't know that I disagree with you there.
But why would you want to waste another year on what you know he's going to do? And that is,
let's let Scott Frost develop as a head coach first, though.
He already
let's
is.
Give him another year or two.
He's already been there years.
He's been there a year and a half, and he's done okay, but who have they played? I mean, I'm all for it, and I don't know if that's even something he's willing to consider. I hope it is. But, you know, the one thing I've learned through watching Wisconsin over the last few years, their AD came from Nebraska, and he has just built their program on the same foundation that we have built ours. So they have the in-state people that they bring up to develop with not a great recruiting class, and they're able to stay the top 10 team over the last few years. So I know that with the right coaching change, I think you're right when you're saying that there's someone out there. I think with the right coach, we can get back to national prominence because we have that blueprint. If Wisconsin's able to do it, why can't we?
I mean, just, and I agree that, you know, it's no, this is not going to be the who's who of college football. But let's also factor in, they've had a lot of games canceled this year. So they beat FIU 61-17. Remember the Maryland team that went down to Austin, Texas and shredded the Longhorns? They went to Maryland and beat them 38-10. Okay, Maryland also went to Minnesota and beat them. They went to Maryland's place and beat them 38-10. Memphis, have you seen them this year? They're pretty darn good. Yeah. They beat them 40-13. They beat Cincinnati at Cincinnati 51-23, and they beat East Carolina, who's awful, this weekend 63-21. And that, like I said, I get it. That's not the who's. That's not sitting there saying they just beat Alabama, Georgia, and LSU. I get it. But the brand is gonna. At least it's gonna be fun. Even if they lose, at least you're gonna score a point. I mean, Nebraska is deathly dull. If you want to punish somebody, make them watch Nebraska football right now.
No, I'm not disagreeing. I was there. It was awful. There's nothing fun to watch about it. I mean, we got decent running backs, but everything else is pretty bad.
Yeah. Harley, thanks for the phone call. Don't be a stranger to the show. Appreciate
it. We'll do.
We'll try to pick you up. We'll try to pick you up because, I mean, he deserves to be picked up after that trek.
Misery loves company.
Ohio
just join
State.
The club.
Willie, I think it was – I think it was like 45-0 before Nebraska started scoring a few points. Can you imagine at home? That's in Lincoln. Just getting mauled by Ohio State.
I know the feeling.
I'll tell you what. We'll take a break. We'll get Davis, Jeff, everybody on the line. We'll get more phone calls on the other side.
737-1025.
Hope you feel better. Yes, call us. Talk about whatever you want. On this reaction to everything that happened over a crazy, crazy weekend. Back to wrap up the first hour next. Yeah. Bob Kravitz to kick off the second hour from Indy. Talk about the Colts Titans Monday Nighter here at Nissan Stadium. Let's go to Davis. Davis, what's up?
Hello?
Hello, Davis.
Hello?
Is this Davis?
Yeah.
All right, you're up. Go ahead.
So I don't remember exactly what I saw, but they said they were changing the recruiting rules to where the schools could help pay for the unofficial visits. And that was something they were talking about would immensely help Nebraska, where the kids would actually be able to come from the South or the Midwest and actually get out to Nebraska, not putting the bill, because right now they have to put their own bill. Because you're only allowed, I think, what, 3 or 5 official visits?
Not sure, Davis. We're unfortunately not your recruiting show. I don't follow recruiting ins and out and all the rules.
Well, no, but that was something they were supposed to be, that was supposed to significantly help the traditional powers in the Midwest and Nebraska was what they were talking about. I was driving through there, and that was something they said was going to change this year or next year.
They've always had issues because of their location, but they were able to make it work back in the day, and they've just got to get the right guy in there to make it work. You can make it work. Look, if you can – there are some obscure college towns, as you know, in crazy places where you're going, how do they get anyone to come to this place? You get the right guy, they can make it happen.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying it makes a big difference if you can drive to Alabama or Tennessee and cost you gas money, and if you're going to fly to Nebraska, I mean, even if you fly there, you're still looking for an hour and a half to 2 hour drive just because there's no airport close to the university. That's really a major airport.
Yeah, I guess there's what, 5 official visits allowed? I think that's what it is. So thank you, Davis. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, you're up next. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Very, very thought-provoking show this morning. I got a question. Because of the dominance of Alabama and what they're doing to people is crazy, but it kind of ties into, think about this for a second. I mean, I'm going to give you a scenario. Okay, I work at a part-time at a store where they sell lottery, okay? And the hot ticket is the jumbo bucks. That's the hot ticket. Everybody buys that ticket because it always wins. So everybody gravitates to that one. I sell that one more than anything else. My question to you is this. Because Alabama's winning, because of championship and all that other kind of thing, how much does the winning play into the decision? So, I mean, you can't say this guy's a great recruiter or that guy's a great recruiter. I think the winning, and you guys let me know if I'm right.
No, look, Jeff, you're right, because I'll give you an example. We'll have Vince Ferrara at noon today. Tennessee had a four-star running back recruit decommit after Saturday's loss.
Does that destabilize the league itself, the SEC, the ACC? Does that destabilize that? I mean, if you win a championship and you get more players and all that,
you've already used the example. You've made your point. People gravitate to winning.
Okay,
that people want winning, right? That you just said it. You sell the winning tickets. I mean, that's what people want. They want winners. They want to go to where you're winning. They don't. I mean, who really wants to sign up for losing?
So does that determine the coach's job or not?
Well, it plays a big part in it. Thank you, Jeff, for the phone call. Yeah, I mean, it's not the end all be all. At some point, when you take over a program that's down, you have to sell something. Because all you have is losing. You can't sell that. You sell them on what the future's going to look like. So, of course, you know, people want to be – I mean, that is an actual story. And that's not the only one, Butch Jones. This is starting to happen. It happened after the Georgia game, too. We'll talk about that because Vince is much more tied in to the recruiting scene than us. But they had a four-star running back recruit decommit after the game Saturday.
I think it's – easy for a lot of coaches to sell early on that they're good salesmen. I think there are a number of coaches you can say are good at that, but I think you got to have substance behind it. Take the winning aside for a minute. It certainly helps when you win. It helps become an easier sell.
Makes things a lot easier, yeah.
But when you're coming in and the team hasn't won, you have to be a snake oil salesman to a degree. But I think the more you have substance behind it long term, is when you're really going to have success. And hopefully winning comes along with that.
Let's go to Tony. Tony, you're up next. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks.
You touched on Michigan's horrid offense a while ago, and then you sort of took a shot at Jim Harbaugh a little bit. I don't think you can put this on him. I mean, I'm not saying that he is a Nick Saban or an Urban Meyer even, but...
Why not? He should be. Why not? I mean, he's just as good as them as a coach. I mean, why not?
I don't know, but what I know is that when Jed Fish left and went to UCLA, and we got Tim Drevno in. I mean, look at the offense; it's night and day. And you know, the same players. And UCLA is doing some of the same things that Michigan was doing last year. Not that they're a big power right now, but I don't know. I think a lot of it is more on the offensive coordinator than Jim Harbaugh.
I'll tell you what. Let me just say this, Tony. And you're a big Michigan fan, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine. I have said this, but one, let me make this abundantly clear. I think Jim Harbaugh is a fantastic coach.
Right.
I don't like the antics that he plays behind the scenes, and this is so minuscule.
This is about the salesman.
Some of the stuff that he does, and quite honestly, some of the stuff he doesn't have to do. Like, I don't care about him taking shots at the SEC or some of the stuff or coaches. That's fine, whatever. That helps sell the game because it builds up hype around things. But, you know, there's tons of stories of, you know, how he doesn't release depth charts. And, you know, it's common courtesy. You meet with the commentators. You give them some insight on, that are doing your game. And he plays games with them. I don't like all that buffoonery. I don't. Yeah. I think he's a tremendous coach. I think his offense stinks. It's awful.
No, it definitely does. I mean, ultimately he gets the call, I guess, but I don't know how much of it is on him. Whereas,
well, along those lines, Tony, can I ask a question? Because I don't know the answer to this, but
yeah,
I know they're struggling to get good quarterback play. Is there any talk about using McCaffrey? Is he on the radar yet, or is it just
not that I've heard? But I really wish there was. Because, I mean, there's O'Corn, and then there's another guy, I think it's Peters, and then there's McCaffrey also. And
McCaffrey is a true freshman, right?
Thrown around. Do what?
McCaffrey is a true freshman, right?
Yeah.
Tony, this is what I don't understand. I'm trying to figure out how they're going to beat. Tell us. You watch them even closer than us. I've watched some of their games. You tell me how Michigan's going to go to Penn State and win this game.
Well, I wish I could. I mean, their defense is the only thing that's keeping them relevant right now. So if their offense, you know, struggles to put up 20 points, then I don't think their defense can contain Penn State to 20 points. You know what I mean? I'm honestly more worried about this game than I am Ohio State, and I may regret saying that later. But right
but
now,
crazy things happen though. Crazy yeah. things happen. Yeah. Nobody saw Penn State winning last year against Ohio State.
Right.
Well, they've got Penn State on the road and Wisconsin on the road, and those are going to be two doozies. And I guess your level of confidence feels a little bit better because at least you get Ohio State at home.
Yeah. I mean, it makes it a little better, but they look good, obviously.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, y'all.
Let's get one more in before this hour's up. John, you're up next. Welcome in.
Good morning. How y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm a diehard University of Florida fan, and this has been one of the most frustrating seasons because all that still has not been fixing itself up. And I keep hearing excuses from McElwain. The first thing he's got to get rid of Nussmeier, the offensive coordinator, because Frank has not shown any development. I know losing Luke Del Rio when they first brought him in has kind of hurt the team. But in all honesty, if Tennessee and Kentucky not done a couple of defensive gaffes, Florida could just as well be 1-5 right now instead of 3-3. And also, I thought those orange over orange uniforms they've worn sometimes were bad. Those the ones they wore this past week
bad.
Were horrific.
Horrific. Yes. Agreed. I totally agree with that.
I don't get the whole thing about the
those unis.
I've never. It really for any team. Really for any team. I just.
From what I saw in the Gainesville Sun, apparently it's the 20th anniversary of Coach Spurrier calling it the Swamp, and that was the idea to bring out uniforms look like alligators and stuff. So this is what I saw in the Gainesville Sun. That's where I remember seeing it at when I was checking it out. But
this is one time, John. This past weekend, I was really ticked that I had HD. I didn't want to see those unis in HD.
Yeah, I thought one Oregon's enough, and when it comes to this uniform change and stuff, I think Alabama's proving you don't need to do all this uniform changing to win. One Oregon's enough. Everybody else needs to stop it.
Well, in all seriousness, you're right about I agree with you on Doug Nussmeier. I don't understand the fascination with him. You look at his last couple of stops, he has been run out on a rail. I mean, he's been told get lost, and I don't know why there's a fascination for him. I'm with you on that.
Apparently him and McElwain go way far back. That's one reason. I guess he's scared to get rid of a friend. But people talk about the Nebraska fans, and you all are talking about Frost going to Nebraska. Well, if McElwain goes, he's right down the road from Gainesville. I wouldn't be surprised if Florida tried to get him if they couldn't get somebody like Chip Kelly.
I love this if McElwain goes. He was what? What did we say? 16-3 or whatever in the SEC, and then 2 weeks later. Oh, wait a minute. If we got to make a change, maybe Frost likes it.
I don't know.
It's a fine line.
Yeah, I know. It's another frustrating thing we have also. Is we see how well Will Greer's doing in West Virginia. That's another frustrating thing and stuff.
Well, he's doing well, but it's not like they're lighting it up over there.
Well, I don't know.
Everybody scores points.
Let me tell you right now, you beat Georgia, then it'll be back.
Everything will be okay.
Everybody's back.
Well, I hope so, but I learned a long time ago, don't catch chickens before they're hatched.
Yeah.
Georgia, I think, is hungry this year. I think Alabama might be the only one stopping. But I'm just being honest. I hope Florida wins, but I'm not going to get ahead of myself, though, either.
Well, if you want to look at records, though, this has not been favorable for Georgia. That game has been – if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm a cat with a long tail and a room full of rocking chairs. I'm nervous. Very nervous.
I agree with you on that, but thank you all for your time.
All right, thanks, John. We'll come back.
The venting hour.